Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Gentlemen, we got him. On the evening of September 11th, a family member of Tyler Robinson reached out to a family friend who contacted the Washington County Sheriff's Office with information that Robinson had confessed to them or implied that he had committed the incident. This information was relayed to the Utah County Sheriff's Office and scene investigators at Utah Valley University. This information was also conveyed to the FBI.
Given all of the other things that had been happening, this was the best possible news to get just after 9 o'clock on Friday, right after we went off the air. That press conference we've been waiting for all morning finally happening. Utah Governor Spencer Cox announced that they had a man in custody, Tyler Robinson, that they believed to be the murderer of Charlie Kirk.
Investigators interviewed a family member of Robinson who stated that Robinson had become more political in recent years. The family member referenced a recent incident in which Robinson came to dinner prior to September 10th, and in the conversation with another family member, Robinson mentioned Charlie Kirk was coming to UVU. They talked about why they didn't like him and the viewpoints that he had. The family member also stated Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate.
And talking about the Discord messages, if you do not know, Discord is a communication service. Think of it as somewhere between a social media platform and text messaging, an instant message. It's a little hard to explain kind of how it functions, but people get together in groups. It's very common. All of your college students are using it. All of your high school and junior high students are using it. And, you know, it's even normal for that to be the kind of semi-official platform that, you know, group projects are done on and stuff like that. But if you're over 30, you've never been on it. John, I get that about right? I mean, would that be,
well,
I mean, unless you're if you're a gamer, you've been on it, you know.
Yeah, you have.
But if you're, you know, if you're not a gamer and you're over 30, you're like, what's a Discord? Why would somebody call it
Why would I need a cord for this?
Exactly. So,
investigators identified an individual as the roommate of Robinson. Investigators interviewed that roommate who stated that his roommate, referring to Robinson, made a joke on Discord. Investigators asked if he would show them the messages on Discord. He opened it and showed several messages to investigators and allowed investigators to take photos of the screen as each message was shown by Robinson's roommate. These photos consisted of various messages, including content of messages between the phone contact named Tyler with an emoji icon and Robinson's roommate's device.
So it's not a conviction yet, but it's obviously all of the evidence that you could imagine is pointing towards this person being the murderer. And then, of course, Spencer Cox, the governor of Utah, talked about the rifle, about the etchings on the bullet casings.
Investigators discovered a bolt-action rifle wrapped in a dark-colored towel. The rifle was determined to be a Mauser Model 98 30-06 caliber, 30-06 caliber bolt-action rifle. The rifle had a scope mounted on top of it. Investigators noted inscriptions that had been engraved on casings found with the rifle. Inscriptions on a fired casing read, "Notices Bulges, capital O-W-O, what's this?" question mark. Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, "Hey fascist!" exclamation point, "Catch!" exclamation point. Up arrow symbol, right arrow, and symbol and three down arrow symbols. A second unfired casing read, "Oh Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Bella Chow, Chow Chow." And a third unfired casing read, "If you read this, you are gay, LMAO."
And I know some of those references may not mean anything to you. They didn't mean anything to me until I had read some of the articles. I don't think it really matters particularly, but it indicates viewpoint. It indicates it confirms everything else that has gone along here. Now, Spencer Cox was the primary speaker at this press conference on Friday. He was you had updates from law enforcement, particularly from Cash Patel, who was very emotional, a friend of Charlie Kirk, apparently. Director of the FBI, by the way.
Lastly, to my friend Charlie Kirk, rest now, brother. We have the watch, and I'll see you in Valhalla.
And I know some people react. I mean, that made me go, what did he say? Meet you in Valhalla. It's just an expression for warriors or for people who care about law enforcement. It really means, you know, some people are like, well, why would somebody like that? And, you know, Christians, stop. Just, I mean, Valhalla is the, you know, where the Vikings go when they've earned their place in heaven as, you know, dying in battle victoriously kind of thing, like their version of paradise or heaven or whatever you want to call it. And I mean, just learn which stuff you know not to care about. What I particularly was fascinated by and impressed by, frankly, was what Spencer Cox said at the end. The beginning of the press conference was more of the facts and kind of how we got here. But the end of the press conference was, I mean, I was captivated. I was actually, we were playing it on news radio live, and I had left work, and I was headed to do some grocery shopping on Friday morning because that's just my habit. And this was one of those, I had gotten to the grocery store, and I was sitting in the parking lot with the car on listening to the feed.
I did the same thing. I had left here, and I pulled the feed up, and I was just listening.
Yeah, and then I was listening to it some more, and I decided to go in and go grocery shopping, but I put my earbuds in and put it on my phone on the app, News Radio Pensacola.
Look
app.
Look at
and
you
I was
being all technology.
Listening to it while I'm, you know, shopping for ground beef and potatoes and, you know, listening to Spencer Cox. And what he said was exactly the right things to be said.
This is certainly about the tragic death assassination, political assassination of Charlie Kirk. But it is also much bigger than an attack on an individual. It is an attack on all of us. It is an attack on the American experiment. It is an attack on our ideals.
And that's exactly correct. Whether the person who committed the murder, Tyler Robinson, whether he believes that it's an attack on America, it is an attack on America, because in this country, and I mean, you'd have to say everywhere, because we believe these values and principles and rights are universal. They are not always recognized by other countries, but they are recognized in this country, and they do not come from, people make this mistake of thinking that your right to speech comes from the Constitution. You understand that your right to speech comes from God and is protected by the Constitution, like your right to self-defense or defense of others is from God and is recognized by the Second Amendment. I mean, this is the core concept of this country, the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. They come from God, not from government. Governments are right or not based on whether they protect those rights. And so the notion that the First Amendment and free speech is a political right, as a constitutional right, as a right from law is, the best way to describe that is that's American heresy. But it's not just American heresy, it's just heresy. Like, it's just, you know, contrary to the principle of what we believe in, which is that human beings have these rights, and if we protect them, then we're merely doing what we're supposed to do, and if we fail to protect them, then we're not. So if you attack somebody with violence because of what they say, you have violated their God-given rights, not their constitutional rights, not their First Amendment rights, but their God-given rights. And therefore, it is an attack on what this country means, what we believe about human beings, on God. I mean, it's across the board. It is anybody who engages in violence for speech. That's what they've done. And so it is different. He's right. It's different. It is an attack on our very way of life and our core beliefs.
Political violence is different than any other type of violence for lots of different reasons. One, because in the very act that Charlie championed of expression, that freedom of expression that is enshrined in our founding documents, in having his life taken in that very act, makes it more difficult for people to feel like they can share their ideas, that they can speak freely.
That's exactly right. We believe in speech as the alternative to violence. I've said this, if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times, that, you know, voting and democracy is war by other means. I mean, the idea is, you know, we get 12,000 votes and you get 10,000 votes, we're going to put our person in charge, is a way of saying, well, we could just go to war and we could bayonet and shoot each other until there's only a couple thousand of us left. What's the point of that? Let's just vote. Same principle. There's more of us than there are of you, but within limits, within tremendous limits set by the Constitution. But the Constitution is not the maker of those limits. The Constitution is the honorer of those limits that come from God. And so, yeah, the idea is that, you know, if you can't solve your problems by talking, you still don't get to recourse to violence. You have to solve them through nonviolent means. That's the idea. And if you inhibit speech, you actually facilitate violence. This is a sort of tale as old as time, but when you suppress speech, it's not that the views go away. They just go underground for a while until they can build Molotov cocktails and buy weapons and fight back. So you let people speak. So you let them have their outlet. You let them make their case. Suppressing speech never works. It always makes it worse. It's everything from the individual to the marriage to the friends to the political situation. If you suppress it, it doesn't go away. This is, I mean, you know, even the fascists will tell you, you know, it doesn't make it go away. It just gets less of it in public for a while, but the people are still there believing and sharing and talking in secret and quiet and whatever, or on Reddit or on X or on, you know, that's how this works. So we allow people to speak precisely so that we avoid violence. That's one of the reasons why, you know, I don't probably don't have enough time to talk about it right here, but I'm very troubled by a lot of things I see, but it's not by the strong expressions of sentiment. It's by the lack of advocacy for tolerance that I see from everybody. It's disgusting to see leftists celebrate Charlie Kirk's death. And frankly, it's disgusting to see righties talking about firing or worse for people who express outrageous views. You supposedly are honoring Charlie Kirk by trying to punish people for celebrating his death. I understand. But you get he wouldn't have wanted that. His whole essence was in favor of free speech, including disgusting speech, vile speech, horrific speech. Now, there are some cases where certain kinds of speech, you know, direct incitement to violent, fighting words, perjury, yelling fire in a crowded theater, are punishable by law. You're not allowed certain kinds of speech, but the limits are very high. And if people want to do disgusting, vile things, celebrating the death of somebody, they don't understand America. They are celebrating something un-American. But we allow people to be un-American in this country. There's almost no limit to political speech, right up to the point of advocating for violence. Now, if somebody says, let's go kill, oh, sure, go ahead, arrest them. That's not allowed. You say, well, what's the difference? There is a difference. And it's the most vile of speech that tests whether we're serious about our belief in free speech. Look at the, you know, the Sanger Theater drag queen Christmas. It's the same thing. When you use violence to suppress speech, or you use the government, which is a form of violence under color of law, because the police have the power to what? Arrest, detain, right? Fine and punish. It's the same impulse. It's trying to control other people and suppress their expression. And again, there is not an unlimited right to expression, but it's almost unlimited. And so we're supposed to use words. But words themselves, and this is, again, part of the problem, we have this idea, this terrible notion that words themselves are a form of violence. Of course, what's ironic is that the people who are advocating or at least celebrating Charlie Kirk's murder are often the ones themselves who say words are violence, which you're holding them to their own standard. But we don't care what their standard is. We care what our standard is. You know, somebody would say it's ironic that people who celebrate the death of this man don't want to be fired for the words that they say online. Of course it's ironic. Of course they're stupid, hypocritical idiots. Still protected. As are all of you when you say stupid, hypocritical, conflicted, misguided things. That's the point.
I think we need more moral clarity right now. I hear all the time that words are violence. Words are not violence. Violence is violence. And there is one person responsible for what happened here. And that person is now in custody and will be charged soon and will be held accountable.
That's exactly right. And if anybody aided and abetted, sure. And if anybody knew or suspected strongly that he was on the verge, maybe we pursue charges against him. By the way, the roommate slash the governor says romantic partner who's transgender, man becoming woman is cooperating, did not know apparently. And, you know, so there's that. Is that relevant? We don't know. I mean, you don't know. I know it's a convenient thing to fixate on, but any more than if somebody were married to a woman and you said, well, he's married to a woman and that's why. Like, what? Well, I mean, that's the point. You don't know what's relevant yet. Maybe it is. Maybe it's not. We don't know. Be cautious. 525 here on News Radio 92.3. As Spencer Cox noted, in the wake of the Charlie Kirk assassination, we haven't had fires. We haven't had riots. We haven't had, you know, massive demonstrations destroying cars in the streets. And that's right. And that's good. I'm Andrew McKay.
Saturday, September 27th, come to the grand opening land sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. That's right. Get 20 to 50 acres in Baldwin County from just $139.9 with excellent financing available. Ranches at Creekside Preserve features private large acreage tracts with beautiful woodlands, rolling meadows, and a peaceful creek, all surrounded by pristine natural beauty and abundant wildlife. It's your opportunity to live in Baldwin County, Alabama, one of the fastest growing coastal counties in the U.S. due to low taxes and a low cost of living. Don't miss out. Come to the grand opening land sale at the Ranches at Creekside Preserve and get your gorgeous 20 to 50 acre estate in desirable Baldwin County on sale from only $139.9. Call 877-888-1415 or go to creeksidepreserveal.com. That's creeksidepreserveal.com.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening. Whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware and Blue Sky Landscaping.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
I hereby dedicate this building to myself.
Somebody texts in, Andrew, I'm so frustrated over wanting the heads of those that disagree with us. Some on the right are no different than those on the left. So sad. Thank you for being the voice of reason. Same. I was very frustrated and saddened by what I saw on social media over the weekend. because it was just stronger versions of hate from both sides. Like, did you nobody understand what happened? And your answer is more force, more punishment, more, in air quotes, I say accountability. That's what they say. Stop being them. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Lots of people gathering all over the nation for memorials for Charlie Kirk over the weekend. There were hundreds of people at the Kennedy Center on Sunday. President Trump expected to attend a memorial service for Kirk in Arizona this coming Sunday, apparently. And, of course, there was one in Pensacola last night.
Yeah, interrupted by somebody basically throwing paint over the Charlie Kirk picture, and then squabbling leads to fighting, leads to pepper spraying, leads to PPD showing up, and, you know, that's the same thing. They're speaking, let them speak. When they leave, go paint over it if you want to. That's how, I mean, Graffiti Bridge is one of the greatest examples of free speech. Be a little respectful, let them have their time, and then if you don't like it, paint over it. Everybody does.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Vigil for Charlie Kirk, Sunday night at the Kennedy Center in D.C. Thousands paying tribute to the 31-year-old assassinated last week in Utah.
This was a public vigil, and thousands of people attended. There were several Republican members of Congress and Trump administration officials. Some of them included White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt, DNI Tulsi Gabbard, HHS Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr., and House Speaker Mike Johnson. They say the best way to pay tribute to Kirk is by continuing the work he started.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, the suspect Tyler Robinson appears in court for the first time tomorrow. New York Governor Kathy Hochul endorsing the Democratic Socialist Zohran Mamdani, who's a frontrunner for New York City mayor. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, partly cloudy. We've got 65 degrees right now in Pensacola. Pensacola police do say a man was pepper sprayed during a disturbance at that Charlie Kirk vigil at Graffiti Bridge last night. A crowd had gathered for the candlelight vigil at about 6 p.m. when a fight broke out. South Santa Rosa News reporting that a vandal had attempted to paint over the Kirk mural before that vigil started. One person was pepper sprayed. PPD says they required medical attention. The person that sprayed the pepper spray was not at that scene when officers arrived, and police are asking anybody with information on the incident to contact them or to reach out to Crime Stoppers. 29-year-old man from Cantonment has died after a crash Friday morning in North Escambia County. That happened at about 7 a.m. on Friday morning on Highway 97 near Pine Barren Church Road. Officials say a man was driving his SUV and veered into the path of a southbound dump truck. The dump truck driver, 62-year-old man from Pensacola, sustained minor injuries in that crash. Well, a wrong-way driver being blamed for a deadly 8-car crash in Brevard County. That happened yesterday morning on I-95. FHP said a Toyota Corolla was driving the wrong way and hit a Chevy Impala, caused a chain reaction involving 6 other vehicles. 3 people died at the scene. 6 other people were hurt, but those 6 people are all expected to survive. Senator Rick Scott says it's incredible to see Marco Rubio in Israel. Secretary of State Rubio arrived in Jerusalem yesterday morning to meet with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Scott wrote on X that the visit reminds the world that America firmly stands with Israel and is committed to getting every hostage home. A doctor's comments about Charlie Kirk proving costly. The University of Miami announcing Saturday that it's fired Dr. Michelle Bravo, a neurologist at the Miller School of Medicine, at least until her comments about Kirk's shooting death last week came to light. Bravo posted on X and implied that Kirk deserved what he got because of his support for Israel. She wrote, quote, "The chickens have come home to roost." UM says those comments were unacceptable and incompatible with their policies and their values. 6:34, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Tuesday, nice sunny skies, high near 89. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 71. Going into Wednesday, plenty of sunshine, high near 89. And by Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now we've got 65 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Bank of New York Mellon is creating an artificial intelligence lab at Carnegie Mellon University as part of a $10 million investment into research and recruiting at the school. The partnership was unveiled just before the start of the Pittsburgh's AI Horizons Summit. The physical space, called the BNY AI Lab, will start construction this semester in hopes of a spring opening. DownDetector.com reports that Elon Musk's satellite internet service Starlink is back online for most users after a brief outage. The number of U.S. users reporting issues fell below 1,000 as of 1:15 a.m. Eastern Time this morning. That's down from a peak of more than 43,000. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said the U.S. and China are close to reaching an agreement on the short video app TikTok as a second day of talks resumed in Madrid to try and resolve trade tensions between the two countries. Bessent said both sides had made good progress on technical details, but reaching a deal on other issues will be challenging. Futures are currently mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Not all service companies are created equal. Hi, this is Judy Lacey with Barberry Plumbing, and we're proud to say we're a local, family-owned small business serving our community for over 50 years. In 1972, my dad, Louis Barberry, started this company with a vision of providing the best quality service with honesty and integrity for the community. Small businesses are the heart of America, and when you support a locally owned small business, you help to keep your community strong. We are not one of those plumbing franchise companies that will charge you an arm and a leg. At Barberry Plumbing, we always use the flat rate pricing so you know exactly how much the job will cost before the work begins. No franchise fee to pass along. You may not need a plumber today, but when you do, call Pensacola's best plumber, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.
Lexus number RF1106-7749.
Lexus, BMW, Jaguar.
Where is the best place to take your vehicle for service and repair? That, my friend, is Matrix Auto Service, the future of auto service.
Porsche, Mercedes, Land Rover.
Their expert technicians provide top-notch service and repairs to all makes and models. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction with their number one goal, getting you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show. Example, there are the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Want to score tickets to see Florida State games in Tallahassee? Just download our News Radio Pensacola app. Then tap that app for your chance to win tickets to FSU home games Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Each day you enter brings you one step closer to being in the stands. The winner will be announced live at 5:15 p.m. on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Download, then tap that app. Tap that app. The News Radio Pensacola app. And get ready to be in the stands for game day with News Radio 92.3.
Well, life on a farm, a kind of laid back, ain't much an old country boy to me can't hack. Early to rise, early in the sack, I thank God I'm a country boy.
And I can take you for a ride on my big green tractor. We're just country boys and girls getting down on the farm. She thinks my tractor's sexy.
Goodbye, city life.
Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Woo-hoo! Time to talk to our good friend Ryan Jenkins. Doesn't sound quite as good when I do it, does it? Anyway, Ryan Jenkins is our good friend, farmer up in Jay, Florida, owner of Jenkins Farms. We like to check in with him once a month to find out how farming is going, because it's a major part of our economy, and I don't know, most of you kind of depend on it because, you know, you eat food and wear clothes. Ryan Jenkins, welcome back, sir.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
I'm good. By the way, you normally we have you on the first Friday of the month. This is, of course, second Friday of the month. But you and your beloved had a rare opportunity as a farming couple. You got to take a vacation for your anniversary. Is that right?
That's correct. I wasn't going to tell anybody, but yes, we went. We took a few days off and went and spent some much needed time together and celebrated our 25th anniversary.
Aww.
We went up to Boston and then drove up the coast of Maine and went to all those little towns up and down there, and it was good. It was a very good getaway. And then on top of all that, we were there, and we stopped at a place, and I kept hearing jets. And I said, there must be a Navy base or something around here. Couldn't figure it out. And then just a minute, the Blue Angels flew over. They were up there doing a show. So,
oh, man.
I thought, what's the chances of this?
What a lucky coincidence. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, yeah. Well done. Certainly, she deserves it, you know, as we all know, for putting up with you, just like mine does.
Oh, I promise you.
So, you kids are just getting started.
She needs more awards than I could ever give her.
No, that's 100%. Every good man can say that. Okay, so let's talk about what's going on. Oh, before we get to what you all are doing right now, I did have a couple of things I wanted to cover. One is tariffs. Somebody wanted me to ask you, if at all, how tariffs have been affecting farming and your particular farming crops of, you know, corn, peanuts, and cotton.
You know, I think that we're used as leverage a lot of times in these negotiating tactics. And I think that's, you know, I think that's a lot of what the tariff deal is, that they're using our products and stuff like that to try to make things better for everybody. But I can tell you, in the farming industry right now, it is literally as hard as it's ever been. The prices we're paying for our inputs are the highest they've ever been. The prices that we're getting paid for our commodities are as low as they've ever been. And it's really a perfect storm for disaster. And, you know, farmers are just hoping that, you kind of understand it's something that's needed and necessary for long-term success, but for short-term success, it's about to kill us.
Wow. So, I mean, what are you doing to adapt?
There's nothing you can do. Sign your name prettier every time you go borrow some money.
Ugh.
I mean, you're just trying to make it through right now. And every bit of it's out of your control. There's nothing you can do. So you just try to, the only thing you can try to do is try to produce more and more yield. But, you know, I mean, we're pretty much at a sweet spot with that. It's hard to afford the inputs to make extra yield, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I can make 5,000 pound peanuts, but I could also probably make 7,000 or 8,000 pound peanuts, but the cost of the inputs versus what I'm getting paid for my commodity would never equal out, if that makes sense. So you want to be in that, you know, in that sweet spot to where your inputs are as few as they have to be and your yield is as high as it can be, and just be happy with that.
Well, plus, as we've talked about many times, it's a big gamble anyway, because you never know for sure what the peanut quality is going to be until you start picking them, right?
Correct. Absolutely.
So is it worth the extra risk of, you know, the counterproductive extra risk on a product that's an uncertainty to begin with? Wow. Well, that's discouraging
it's
to hear.
Tough, and so. It's definitely affecting us.
There was two stories, in I think both were at northescambia.com. One was this combine that caught on fire, a corn combine, and the other one was somebody who had to be airlifted after getting caught underneath some farm equipment. And I know you are a big advocate of farm safety, and we talk about this every year, but, man, I saw that combine on fire, and I thought, a corn harvesting combine is not even the most, dangerous one. It's the cotton, right? That's the one that's really the problem.
Cotton pickers and combine fires are pretty common, just because of the environment they're in. The dust is flammable. There's so many different flammable products on those pieces of equipment. And, you know, once they start, you're about not going to put it out. You know, it's going to be pretty much a total loss every time. So yeah, that was very, very unfortunate. It's something, you know, that does happen fairly frequently. Every year in our area, you'll hear one or two cotton pickers that burn. There's not as many combines now as there was, you know, like back in the 80s. But back then, you know, there was one or two combines that would burn every year. Now you hear it every two or three years, you know, you'll hear a combine fire. There's just not as many of them, so you don't hear it as often. But it's a big deal, and it costs a lot of money, and the insurance on a combine and on a cotton picker are very, very high because of that.
Well, yeah, and just the general risk that people, you know, you and I talked, the one where the guy got trapped under the equipment is, you and I are always talking about how, you know, this equipment is dangerous, the practice of farming is dangerous, people are always making decisions about, you know, how they maintain and what risks are acceptable in the process, and even a momentary lapse of attention can, you know, cost you a leg or your life, right?
Oh, that's right. You always think you could reach under there and do something real fast and nothing's going to happen, you know. If I was going to be laying under it all day, I would take these precautions. But since I'm just going to reach under there and tighten a bolt or loosen a bolt or adjust something, you think nothing's going to happen during that time frame. And that's just something you never know, you know. I don't know what happened in that deal. But, you know, I've heard roughly what happened, and You never know. I mean, if you're going to be underneath something, you need to try to have it blocked up and shored up for safety. So, but if, you know, something happens out in the middle of the field, you don't have blocks with you and different things, and you're trying to get done, and you kind of push safety to the side for just a minute, thinking that nothing will happen, and you do what you got to do. And so many times it works out right, but there's that one time that it doesn't, and you're in a mess.
And you even bring like EMS and firefighters in once a year to your farm to give them a safety brief because the situations they deal with are so unique and the problems are so, you know, they don't get practice at them for the extrications and all that. We're talking to Ryan Jenkins. He is the owner of Jenkins Farms up in Jay, Florida. Ryan, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Just seeing some minor delays on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Also, Highway 90 southbound getting into Pensacola. Going to see some congestion delays in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. By the way, I think we may have a press conference for President Trump coming up at the top of the hour. We'll see. If it does happen, we will certainly carry that related to the suspect that he says they have in custody related to the Charlie Kirk murder. So you know, we will definitely carry that if that is happening coming up at the top of the hour. Back to Ryan Jenkins, the owner of Jenkins Farms here on News Radio 92.3. He is our farmer. We check in with him once a month. You guys are what, finishing up your corn right now? Is that where you're at?
We finished up our corn harvest day before yesterday, which was a challenge, but the yields were, you know, it would definitely be a top 10 year. I haven't added it all up just yet, but just, you know, rough figure, and it was a very good corn year. Unfortunately, the prices are very low, so even with a bumper crop, a really, really good crop, I still don't know if we're going to make any money off of our corn. Ugh. It's just one of those years, you know, where thank goodness the weather and your decisions went right, but the price doesn't fall in line for you to be able to make any money. So that was tough. The truck, you know, we don't have the infrastructure here in our area, so all of our corn either went to Montgomery, Alabama, or Laurel, Mississippi. So we had, you know, That's long trips when you're trying to load trucks in the field and send them there, and they work banker's hours. You know, one of them closes, the one in Montgomery closes at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's very difficult, and then it's difficult to find trucks to haul it. So, you know, I could cut, say, 10 truckloads. The combine and the equipment I have could harvest 10 truckloads a day, but we might only haul off 3 or 4 truckloads in a day.
Well, you mean you're really so, selling me on the idea of becoming a farmer here, Ryan. You make it sound so easy, like.
Yeah, it's easy.
Hey, you know, I'm gonna
everybody should try it.
I'm gonna ask you a dangerous question. We're having a discussion inside my house. I won't say it's an argument, but we're having a discussion inside my house about this subject. So be careful what you say. What's the right way to boil corn? What's the right way to cook the corn? You're a corn harvesting and maker expert. Do you have an opinion about the right way to cook it?
So you're talking about corn on the cob?
Yeah, yeah.
Like sweet corn?
Yeah.
Well, you put a stick of butter in there and some salt, and you let it boil for about 15 or 20 minutes and let it sit there a few minutes, then you get it out and eat it.
So you put butter and salt? Really?
Heck yeah. How else are you going to do it?
So I've always been told that salt toughens it, and you put sugar and lemon juice, and that's how I've always done it. So that's why I wanted to ask, because I figured you're the expert. So butter and salt.
Never heard that in my life.
Look at me butter learning things.
Butter and salt. Put a stick of butter in there.
All right. Hey, I'm open to try a thing, so we'll find out. Thank you.
Report back.
I will, yeah. We'll have a conversation. All right, back to the, you know, how the farming is going. You guys are, what, starting peanuts also, right? So, you know, that's always the moment of truth, right?
It is. It's exciting. But, you know, up until now, you've got in your mind, hey, this is going to be a good year. This is going to be a good year. I'm probably going to be able to pay my bills. And, you know, you got those thoughts going through your head. But once you start really harvesting it and your crop starts going across the scales and you start getting real numbers, then, you know, sometimes things change with those thoughts. So it's like you say, it's the moment of truth. But so far from my neighbors that have already started, things are looking pretty good. However, I know y'all got some rain in the south end this past week, I think Monday maybe. But up here, we're pretty well in a drought now, which makes it difficult for peanuts because they have to be dug out of the ground. And, you know, the ground gets very hard, as well as the peanuts stop maturing when they don't have enough moisture. When it's so dry, they stop maturing, where you'll get worse grades and less money for your product. So, you know, we really still need a shower or two to help us be able to dig easily. The blades that go on the diggers, they wear out very fast in the hard ground, and a set of those are a little over $1,000 a piece.
Oof.
So, you know, you don't want to spend $1,000 a day on blades.
Wow. Yeah,
but,
no.
But anyway, you know.
But so a little bit of rain will help loosen it up.
A little bit, yeah. We don't want a
Not
big
too
rainy
much.
Spell or anything like that. But if we could get a shower, but there's none. None in the forecast in the foreseeable future, so we'll just have to deal with it. But anyway, things are looking good. Cotton's about to start. By the time we talk next, I will probably have picked some cotton as well as peanuts. So it's our busiest time of year. I just want to remind everybody, as you're riding up through the country for different things, there is more farm equipment going up and down the roads now than there is any other time of the year from now till about between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So really pay attention, slow down. Remember, these tractors are not going as fast as you might think they are. A lot of the trucks carrying our products going up and down the road and pulling out from side roads and things. So just really use patience when you're up this way. We're trying to get something done here, and we just all got to work together, and everybody works together, we'll be safe, and everybody will be fed and clothed.
Hey, last thing for you, Ryan. Actually, two things. One is somebody texted me and asked, what about the right to repair lawsuit with John Deere? Has that been settled yet? Do we know? Do you know where that's at?
Yeah, there's basically a memorandum of understanding that Farm Bureau has with the big manufacturers like John Deere, Case IH, places like that. And technically, we can access their stuff, can buy their software, their stuff that we need to be able to plug into the computers on the tractor and work on our own stuff. It's not easy. It's not cheap, but we can technically do it.
Okay.
So hopefully that answers. And it's a working agreement. It's a live document. You know, I sit on a board at American Farm Bureau where we go, and yearly, you know, we'll talk with them again and update things that are working, things that are not working. So it's a work in progress, but at least there's something.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's good news of a sort. Well, I was like to end with a quick farm fact. You got one for us this month?
I do. And you know, you're going to think this is very specific, but anyway, I was looking for something to say. and I was looking under peanut stuff, and I came across a statistic that said 20 years of study show that eating 1 ounce of peanuts or peanut butter a week lowers the risk of developing gallstones by 25%.
Okay.
So if you don't want any daggum gallstones.
No, nobody does. Okay, well, you know, I've been looking for a solution to that problem, so.
That's what I think. So, see, well, somebody out there right now is going after a handful of peanuts.
All right. Ryan Jenkins is our farm friend up in Jay, Florida, the owner of Jenkins Farms. Ryan, man, I really thank you for educating us, keeping us informed, helping us remember the farmers that we depend on and how difficult life is. And yet you guys still have your faith in your family and you love and believe in what you do. And I just tell you, I appreciate it. And thank you for putting clothes on my kids' backs and food in their plate. Man, I appreciate you, sir.
Well, thank you for having us and letting us tell our story. And I hope everybody has a great weekend.
And also, thank you for helping me ward off the gallstones. So, Ryan, we'll talk to you next month.
Yes.
7:50.
All right, take care.
And by the way, that will definitely be the frivolous topic for today. So you can look forward to a robust discussion about corn.
Robust?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's a big word.
Hey, if you are thinking about selling a home, buying a home, picking up a vacation rental, you know, whatever the case may be, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are really good at this. And, you know, one of the things, like when she used to do news, I mean, she's been a friend for a long time, as long as I've lived here. And when she stopped doing that and then, you know, started a family and did some other things, and then she announced she's going to go into real estate. And a lot of us who knew Christina thought, well, I mean, you know, a lot of people try real estate. Honestly, I mean, you have all the skills it takes, but you just never know. A lot of people try real estate. Holy smokes. You know, yes, not everybody sells 165 homes, you know, 6 or 7 years later, 175 the year before that, 200 plus the year before that, like unbelievably proliferate home seller. So if you need somebody to take a look at what you're doing and, you know, maybe give you some advice and help you walk through the process and answer your questions and even buying a new home, she can help you with that too, because it's kind of amazing some of the stuff she can accomplish. Christina Leavenworth is your person. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi, but you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction, 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Pensacola Hardware has been serving the city's general contractors and tradesmen for 174 years. We very much appreciate our customers and are thankful to be one of the only brick-and-mortar businesses in downtown Pensacola to always offer plenty of free parking. We focus on the commercial construction trades and specialize in architectural and engineer-specified products. Whether you're an engineer, project manager, purchasing agent, or subcontractor, Pensacola Hardware is your best local source for construction supplies and exceptional product knowledge.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
Maybe that was money. Tell me that wasn't money.
Good morning, 5:58, News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Well, good morning, Andrew. President Trump planning to deploy National Guard troops to Memphis as part of the crackdown on crime and illegal immigration. He says the city's Democrat mayor is happy with that decision. Mayor Paul Young, however, in Memphis, saying he didn't ask for troops to patrol the city, and he's not sure that their deployment will actually reduce any crime.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, we have a local, interesting, surprising story related to the Charlie Kirk assassination and what happened to the local business connected to that. And what should our reaction be to people who say horrible, terrible, vile things about Charlie Kirk or about violence, political violence? We'll talk about that coming up next because, boy, we need to have this conversation.